Here's hoping that today, as we conclude, you would be able to leave this retreat with very real and definite ideas as to how you can sort out and plan your own personal financial life. So that even if an RM suggests to you 10 different ways of how to make your money work for you, you know how to sift through them. That's important. Okay? And you must understand that the world has its own way of taking your money. And you have your own, it's up to you to learn how to protect yourself. And if you're not careful, you can lose money. You're not saving. You know, the system works, you lose still. A lot of people are not aware that this is actually what's happening. They did not exist to make money for you. You exist to make money for them. You better understand this. And you think that they are all altruistic, they're kind people, they're thinking of you. You gotta be kidding. No institution will survive that way. Okay? You go into it and you don't make money, you're not into it at all. It doesn't work. You got to understand this. The question is, how do you make sense out of all these things? And I'm hoping that we will be able to end on a very, very strong note, and you will be able to make your life count. Okay? Think long term, not here and now. Think your whole, plan out your life, and if you can plan out your life well and carefully, you can attempt and you can achieve a lot of things with your life. Okay? It's a matter of learning the skills, a matter of learning the principles, learning the discipline of working out your plan, and with some wisdom and some flexibility on your part, if you can master your life effectively, many, many sorrows could be prevented. And you can end your life not as a stingy old Scrooge, far from it, but you will be able to rejoice and you can eat and you'll be happy because God has given you a wonderful gift. Okay? I hope that you will bear this in mind. And the most important thing today is to be able to come up with your own plan. And all of us have different lives. You must know this. My lifestyle, your lifestyle, not the same. My mindset, your mindset, not the same. You got to work out your own. Okay, this is very important. We want to stress this. And if we can help you work out your own thing, and because money is a sensitive thing, if you tell your friend all the money you have and all your money sorrows and all that, you will be making the worst possible mistake. Okay? Why don't we begin in prayer together? Our Father, we thank you that we can begin each day thinking of you, loving you, just looking forward to learning more, interacting with you further. We pray for wisdom and ask you to grant to us that special measure of grace this morning. Encourage us, strengthen us, and we pray, Father, that you would teach us truths that will help strengthen us and protect us from the wiles of the evil one. We pray for your blessings upon us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning we're going to take up a little bit of time once again to look into the matter of how ultimately, this is an important principle, ultimately you must realize that it's up to you individually. Okay, you cannot blame your parents. Stop blaming your parents. Now, my parents didn't give me the money to start with. There was a man who said that he began life selling matchsticks and then shoestrings. Then he wanted to be a millionaire, and he was. So became people asking, "Well, how? What happened? How come you can sell matchsticks and shoelaces, and then you became a multi-millionaire just like that?" He says, "Oh, my father died and he gave me all his hotels." And that's how it is sometimes, you know. It's a question of inherited wealth. Not everyone has that privilege of an inherited wealth situation. Most times we work out our own salvation. And we want to think about this. This morning we looked at Genesis 37. And we want to take a look at a situation where you have, in Genesis 37, you have a situation where Joseph is sold as a slave. I mean, you know, there couldn't be, his life couldn't have been more reverse than it was. Okay? Now, look at this, look at Jacob's plan. And Jacob's plan was for Joseph to be the son who was everything. He had a wonderful multi-colored coat. How wonderful that is. All the brothers went out to work. He just go jalan-jalan to look at them. And he was just that special son who had everything. In God's wisdom, in God's plan, if he had carried on like that, he would have been a totally wasted individual. Don't be afraid of reversals in life. Now, this is very important because one of the principles you want to bear in mind is, again here, the idea of God. And you know, God has a higher plan. God has a wonderful purpose in your life if you involve Him. A lot of times we think this is great. What else do I want? You know, I'm my father's favorite son. I'm given all the breaks, all the privileges. They all have to look after sheep. I don't. I just, from time to time, I go and say hello to my brothers. How wonderful! Life is great! That's how most of us think. If only we can be comfortable. If only we don't have to wake up early to take the sheep out. If only we don't have to wake up early and work very, very hard, be smelly and dirty and everything else, and don't even get approval from the father. But this one is everything. He has everything his brothers don't have. Had he carried on that particular lifestyle, he would have been a totally wasted person. That's how most of us are. How nice it would be belong to a rich family. You know, how wonderful everything provided for. How wonderful, you know, everything is there. You follow this lifestyle. That lifestyle could be messed up. So we learn how to make a living. And this is what Joseph learned. And this is important. And we appreciate this. Okay? Let's turn to chapter 39 now. And in chapter 39, we have something really, really special and wonderful. We read, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, bought him and taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. How much did Joseph get paid as a slave? What was his pay package? What were his career opportunities? That's what we all think about. Zero! He worked very hard for nothing. Everything he worked hard at and became successful belonged to his master. Are you prepared to work like that? Most people are not. Most people work and they think of what they can get out of life. That's all what they want to know, how much they can make. How much is in it for me? What am I going to make? What is the bonus scheme? What is everything? And we think that that's everything. What if that is not everything? What if the real key factor is the Lord is with you? What if the key factor is He will make you successful? What if the key factor is that your success for other people is everything, for yourself, nothing? Can you live with that principle? Most people can't. And that's the problem. You see, Joseph needed to learn lessons like that first. Life is hard. Life is cruel. Life can be so embittering. You survive it anyway. And if you can survive under tough circumstances like that, you can live anywhere, you can survive anything. These are things which the Lord needs us to learn first. That's far better than anything else. And yet, most of the time, we're thinking in terms of angling. What's in it for me? And that is always hard. Do you know what success really is? Success is when you can make your company really good. You succeed for the company. You succeed for everybody else. You're not thinking of yourself. You still will succeed for them. You learn this principle early in life. You will succeed anyway. Most people don't. When they think success itself, when they think success is what they can make, and when they think success is what they can, and if they don't have all those things, they are unhappy. And when they are unhappy, their work attitude shows, and they get terminated, and they ask, why? What did I do wrong? Everything. Everything. And a lot of people have not learned this lesson. Joseph learned this lesson first. You don't work for money. Success is not about money. It's not about yourself. You learn these principles, you will go very, very far in life. Okay, let's look at it. Chapter 39. Where we go. And he lost out. One way or the other. Okay? Joseph, with all his hard work, with all his labor, ended up in prison. That's a shame. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I did my part, and how come I ended up like that? It's really, really bad for me. Why? I mean, that is... If you allow yourself to think such thoughts, you will always lose out. Look at how... Look at what happened there. Verse 31. Chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of all the keeper, in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And we read in verse 23, and the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. The same principle, the same phenomenon there. Now you watch, it doesn't matter which job you go to, where the environment is, what happens next. The bottom line is, one, the Lord is there. Two, the Lord will bless it. Three, the Lord will prosper it. You still get nothing there. You know what the Lord wants us to learn most of all? That we never learn this principle. Until we learn this principle well, we got it down pat, chances are we'll never be happy anywhere in life. And a lot of people are not happy people. They're workers, but they're not happy people. They're not successful people. They may make money, but they're not successful people. This is success. Think through this principle, because if you can learn this principle well, you will be surprised what you can do. You see, it's all part of God's plan. Okay? If you are called to fulfill a certain plan of God, He wants you to learn all these things first. And this is an important principle you learn. Because we read later on, again, he was forgotten until the right time comes. And I think this is important that we read. When the right opportunity comes, and we always, that opportunity will come, that time will come. It's a question of whether you can trust the Lord on things like that. And the advice was given to Pharaoh. Chapter 41 now. And Pharaoh said to his servant, "Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God. Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house." You see, that's where the real success is. It's not what you make today. It's not your job today. It's not the money you make today. Many people make this mistake here. The secret of success is not what you earn now. It's what you are inside that other people can recognize. They see in you a wisdom that others do not have commonly. They see within you a discerning character which is not in other people ordinarily. Most of all, they see within you a spirit-filled person that makes you outstanding. This is the secret of it all. That's what success is about. It's not about investments. It's not about opportunities. It's not about, you know, the things being there, all being equal. It's what you are inside. And you know, if you are like that inside, you will shine anywhere, everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are, you will just stand out. And that's a fact. If you are a slave, you stand out. The slave outstanding price. If you are a prisoner, you are a model prisoner. MP. You are a model prisoner. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, you just stand out. I wonder whether you know how to stand out in the crowd. Do you? A lot of people don't stand out because they have chosen to be like the rest of the world. And that's where you don't stand out. That's why your value is going to be less than what it is. But what kind of person are you? That's the principle of success. Grandfather, great-grandfather, Abraham, his history. Isaac, who is he? Jacob is the only reality he has. He loved his father. But he was cut off. No father's influence to fall back on. No favorite support. Nothing. He's got absolutely nothing. And this is a story. You don't need anything. You just need God. And you can succeed. Just stand up. Am I making sense to you? Okay, and a lot of people have not learned how to do this. You are thrown into the deep sea and you've got nothing except the Lord. Can you still succeed? And most people can't succeed without support. The key thing is to be able to succeed without support. Except the Lord. Remember, it's your spirit. It's your wisdom. It's your discernment. Which is what we've been saying the last couple of days anyway. We're just seeing this exemplified in the life of Joseph. And you know, when he went up there finally to become next to the Pharaoh, he was totally unspoiled. His years in prison and as a slave taught him he was unspoiled by his wealth. He became a man of a powerful authority, still unspoiled. I think that's really wonderful. Most people, if they're not ready for this thing, will be spoiled along the way. And that's where they lose out. There is no great advantage simply because you are a son of a rich man. And there are times when being son of a rich person makes you disadvantaged. Disadvantaged because you have all the breaks in life and you don't know how to depend upon yourself. Okay? So don't begrudge the fact that you have to do things on your, by yourself on your own. You made it. I think that's the important thing. So we start with ground zero. And ground zero is where it is. I went to Nagasaki last week to see what would happen. What happened after the bomb, the Fat Man bomb was dropped over Nagasaki. Hiroshima was a small bomb. Nagasaki was a huge bomb. For miles around, people died. Everything was devastated. And it's a real testimony to the people there to see them build their whole city from scratch all over again. Can you? If you had all the bad breaks in life, can you start afresh? Can you start from scratch all over again? See, most of us are just waiting for handouts, we're waiting for breaks in life, we're asking people to favor us, we're asking people to look after us and things like that. These are all our fallback plans. If you've got nothing, and you began with nothing, and you can succeed there, you have succeeded. Otherwise, you've got nothing. Okay? And I hope that you will start later on when you plan your life, you will start off with planning with, I have got nothing except the Lord. I've got nothing except me. I've got nothing except my wits. This is my mind. This is my spirit. This is my character. That's all I need. And if you have this, you will succeed. Okay, stop beefing, stop grousing about, I don't have this, my parents let me down, and I've got a lot of problems, and I've got, stop with all that. You don't need any of these things. You just need the Lord. And all that He's blessed you with, that's all you need. Okay? And it's a wonderful thing to be able to live life like that. It really is. Alright, any questions you want to ask concerning Joseph's life? And I hope that you will be challenged and encouraged and be uplifted concerning his lifestyle. Whatever you need in life, God has already given to you. It's inside you. From here onwards, it's how you develop yourself. That's how you succeed. Okay? Any questions you want to ask? No? No, go ahead and ask questions, because I'm just going to give you example after example after example so that you will finally come up to see, wow, this is what it is. Alright, let's turn to the book of Job now, very quickly. It's too big a book to study all in one go. But it is important that we try and understand how successful he really was. Okay? In Job 1, we read, the Lord said to Satan, verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. Blameless, upright, fearing God, shunning evil. Four qualities. That's what makes a person successful, outstanding. Okay? Watch this very carefully. Blameless, upright, fearing God, shunning evil. Four things. Now, Satan's accusation. Verse 9, verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and he and his possessions have increased in the land. Hedge funds. That's what Satan said. Why, you hedged him. That's exactly what it is. You know, you protected him all the time. Well, the real test is, supposing we were to suffer reversals in our life, can you take it? And maybe, even young as you are, you don't have a lot of good breaks in front of you. You know, how do you do this? Well, he suffered loss of everything. All that mattered to him, loss, gone. First, his children. Completely gone. You know, to lose one son, to lose all children at one go, is a blow that is so deep, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, you couldn't believe it. Okay? Then he lost also his money. I mean, he lost all his wealth. You know, you don't know what it really means to suffer such reversal. From landed property to a small tent out in the wild somewhere. That's awful. That's tough. And then, of course, what is even worse? Health. He also lost everything, and he was just a broken man. Okay? Do you know how to cope with all these things? And that's so important. How do you cope with reversals in life? And a lot of people have not learned how to do this. How do you cope with reversals in life? And it's all inside Job. His four qualities that God said that he possessed were the very answers to whatever reversals there may be. Okay? One, blameless, upright, fearing God, shunning evil. That's his secret. His secret is within himself. His secret is who he was. His secret is also who you really are. Question, who are you? That is the big question. Do you have these four things? Upright, blameless has to do with your character. Fearing God, shunning evil has to do with your faith. Can you still believe in God? If we were to reduce it to the basic irreducible minimum, it would be this. One, faith. Two, character. And that's all you need. That's all you need to succeed. That's something that we need to consider very carefully. And a lot of people are looking for all sorts of things in order to succeed in life. You won't find them. This is what it takes to succeed. And all you need, God in his packaging has put within us all the potential, the possibility to succeed within you, in a person, not the external. Not in your parents' wealth, not in the circumstances of your life, not in the job situation, it's you. With you can succeed anywhere. If it's inside you. You study the lives of all who were successful, you see all those principles there, same. Are there people who are Christian people who succeed? Yes, here, same. Whether it is a Walmart man, the biggest chain store in the entire world, the big chief himself is a believer. KFC, you name all these big guys, you'll be surprised how many of them have basic faith in God. Colgate, toothbrush, toothpaste. Same, two things. His faith in God, his character. All these are Christian founders, but these are all Christian, these are all believers. And they have done tremendous amount of work there. There's something you think about. Foundation foundational ideas, Harvard University. Amazing what was found inside the writings. He says, our main aim is to help people to be educated concerning God and life. Nothing greater than to know Jesus Christ, for in Him is eternal life. Foundational ideas of Harvard University. They all were set up to help people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a real shame that they have just gone so far away from the original position. But that's what it is. Okay? So I really hope you will understand that if you are looking at reversals in life and you've got setback and you've been retrenched and you are in between jobs and you say, where do I go from here? Look at God, look at yourself, that's all you need. That's something that we need to consider, if only we would do just that. Alright, any questions you want to ask about Job? Nobody is in that reversal. Huh? Okay. Now, what are the important principles? What are the key players in the Old Testament was a man called David. Now, you're going to learn something from him which I hope will really, really stand you in good stead. 1 Chronicles 29. And you would really be amazed at what he did with his life. And this was a statement he made as he blessed the people. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. He said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel. That was his faith. Can you see this? You are our Father forever and ever. That was his understanding of God. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You were exalted as head over all. That's faith. That's the kind of dynamic faith that David possessed in his life. Watch his statement now concerning riches. Both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. You want to find success? Find it in God. Find it in your understanding, in your faith, in your relationship with God. That is where it's going to be at. Okay? Verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. That's his attitude towards giving. You see, he's not giving like he's doing a great big deal. No, he says, we are only giving of what was actually yours in the first place. I don't know why people find it so hard to give. You know, it's as if they part with hard-earned money. It's not. It's the Lord's gift to you. If only we can approach life along these lines, it would be great. Verse 15, I like his perspective of life. What is your perspective of life? We are aliens, and I don't mean E.T. We are pilgrims on this earth before you. You know, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope that is outside God. A lot of people plan their life as if they are going to be here forever and ever. 100 years from today, they are still attending retreats. No, thank you. I'm going home. My home is not here. I wonder whether you have a healthy attitude towards faith, towards God, towards life, towards your journey on this earth. I like his approach. Are you looking for riches and honor? Are you seeking it from the right source? Are you seeking it from the Lord? See, a lot of people don't. They're looking for all these blessings from the wrong place. To him, I mean, if you look at very carefully, the way he gave is just absolutely amazing. Let's take a look at some of the things that he gave. You will be absolutely amazed at what he did. Okay? 1 Chronicles 29, he said, okay, we read verse 2, "For the house of my God I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze, iron, wood, stones, glistening stones of various colors." Look at that. Verse 3, "Because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." See, that's what we do with funds. You see, it's not about getting rich. It's what do you do with what you have? I wonder, you know, if the Lord, you were to seek the Lord and he said, "Lord, okay, bless my life." What would you do with the Lord's blessings? Would you be able to say like David, that you have affection for his house? I'm never really worried about people who want to give towards the Lord's work, to the Lord's house or not. Those who love him will give to his house. That's wonderful. You see, this what a joyous thing to be able to have this understanding. I have set my affection, I have prepared. I mean, you know, I don't know whether you think about preparing to give. What do you prepare to give? Most people look in the wallet, oh yeah, $2 left. I wonder whether I can change some money from inside the offering bag. I mean, you know, we come to the point of ridiculous after a while. Have you prepared? That's important. I prepare monthly, I prepare weekly. Tonight, I already put for myself a reminder. Tonight, I had to prepare for tomorrow, the offering that I will give tomorrow. And I make it a special point to prepare. So I have monthly preparation, I have weekly preparation, I have long-term preparation. Principle, you prepare. And you have to give what is there, and it is over and above everything else, I still want to give. That's really wonderful. Over and above kind of giving. Most people, okay, I've given my tithe, the rest mine. Why? Why do we go that way? Why can't we go beyond that and say, well, I want to follow this example. To me, that's such a joy. And he became famous, he became legendary because of his planning and giving. None like Job, none like David. How wonderful it is to have such a thing. Monumental success. Was he poorer? Did he die poorer at the end of it all? No. That's the important thing. That's something that we need to think about. After George Soros gave $500 million last year, is he poorer? Oprah Winfrey just gave $50 million. Is he poorer? Bill Gates set aside a trust fund 2-3 years ago, $1 billion. Is he poorer? No. As long as we keep on worrying and thinking about ourselves all the time, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What clothes I shall put on? You will always be a small, small person. You'll never be successful. Because success is not about what you have, It's what you are and what you do with what you have. This is David's story of success. You think about this, and it is such a joy to be able to have such an example here. Verse 4, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver. Amazing. And he all offered willingly, with such joy. If we can appreciate all these things, that would be wonderful. But again here, we come back to basics. And the basic is that it is all from the Lord. The basic is we are still only pilgrims, aliens, sojourners on this earth. We have passed through this life just once. And I hope that you will not go, look at life and just think that life is about acquiring money. One day there was a person who went up to, who was going to die, and he made a plea with God, and he says, "Please, can I bring at least one suitcase of gold bars?" So God, being kind and very gracious, said, "Okay, you can bring it along with you." So he died, and he was outside the pearly gates, and there he was with his suitcase of gold bars. So Peter met him and they said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, God said I could bring it along with me." So he says, "What is that?" He said, "Well," he opened up, he said, "Gold bars. Wow, pure gold type." And so Peter asked him, "Why do you want to bring that for?" He says, "Gold bars, you know." He said, "Yeah, but what for? That's our pavement." That's what God uses for pavement. You bring pavement with you? You've got to be kidding. How many of you bring dirt with you when you travel? I mean, seriously, how many of you bring dirt with you when you come on? Why would you want to bring dirt for? Gold is heaven's dirt. It's only fit for walking. We exalt it. That's amazing how we all reverse things. I think we really need to sit down and ask ourselves how we're looking at all these things. Do you think God is very stingy about giving riches and honor and all? No. He's just got to find the person with the right spirit. Four qualities: blameless, upright, fearing God, shunning evil. If you have these things here, you don't have to worry about all the other things. They will come. The problem is that very often, sometimes God protects us from ourselves. You give things, leave all the things. If God had given to Joseph in plan A, living under his brother would have killed him. Plan B is better. Plan B is slave. Plan B is prisoner. But plan B leads to success. But he learned along the way to have faith in God and to have the kind of character that he needed to have to, in order to be blessed with the things that he was blessed with. Okay? Questions? No? Alright, let's learn it. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles now, and we look at this man called Solomon. Next generation now. Okay? Next generation. Solomon asked, and he said, "Give me wisdom," verse 10, "and knowledge." And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor, nor have you asked for long life." Most people ask for all these things. "Lord, give me riches, give me wealth, give me honor, plus give me long life." A lot of people ask for those things here. You see, there's three old men. One long life, one wisdom, one wealth. Same, this. These are things that universally people ask. And so you go to any of those big business, you see these three guys there. And the Lord says, you have not asked for any of these things here. He says, I will give this to you. Wisdom and knowledge I granted to you. I will give you riches and wealth and honor as well. What would you do with that? I mean, seriously, what would you do with riches, wealth and honor? What would you do? I mean, seriously, you had $1 million. What would you do with it? And people say, well, first and foremost, I'll upgrade. The moment you upgrade, you're already behind. You still owe. Because, here we go. Then you want, I want to buy a car. I want to go traveling. I want to eat in the best places. There you go. If that's your response. I mean, supposing you were to, the Lord were to ask you, you write down, what would you ask for? What would you ask for? Would you ask the same thing that Solomon asked for? Would you? I wouldn't. Because it didn't help him much. Think about this. What would you ask for? We've got to learn from all these things. Right? That's exactly what it's all about. You can have all these blessings, you can have all these things, and you still at the end of it all can lose out. Then Job's better. Four things. Blameless, upright, fearing God, shunning evil. It's within you. That would be far, far greater. You see, so when we talk about this coming to the close of this retreat, I hope that you know what you're asking for. And it is not about just a question of, Lord, help me to find riches and wealth and honor and everything else. Because if you had asking for that, you would have missed the point of this retreat. It is not that God is not willing to give these things to you. It's really about, do you know what to do with all these things? Let me get a drink. Notice no noise. Notice no water too. Come on. That's it. The question of how you turn the thing. Not like that. Okay. Are we making sense out of all these things? Okay. And what are we thinking about now? Now I have one more example to give, and then we will sit down and later on, hopefully, help you work out a personal financial program, which is basically what I want to lead towards. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I think many of us are Macedonians. Not much money type. Okay. Question is, if we don't have much money, can we still be in the game? That's important. All right, here we go. Macedonians. I really like what Paul wrote about the Macedonians. In chapter 8, he says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. There we go. That is the grace of God given to them. In verse 2, in great trial of affliction, abundance of their joy, deep poverty. Wow. How many of us would like to be like that? Maybe already like that. Okay? Especially the deep poverty part. Look at me. Okay? We have got great trial of affliction, deep poverty. But where is the abundance of joy? Verse 2. I like what Paul said. I bear witness. According to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Can we still give? And then he went on further. Look at this. He says, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Absolutely amazing. Do you know how to be like this? This is real success. Most of us are not going to be Solomon in wealth. Most of us are not going to be able to give 7,000 talents of gold. 7,000 talents of gold, by the way, will fill more than this room. That's a tremendous amount of gold. By the way, they're still looking for, they're trying to find where Solomon's mines are. They're still trying to figure it out. Has he left behind something that people have not discovered? They're still trying to figure out where that place is. Where is Ophir? They're still looking around, by the way. You might want to know this. Okay, there we go. And we see the example of the Macedonians. Okay? And Paul teaches us, verse 13, if there is first a willing mind, and he teaches us how we can develop this and cultivate these things here. It's really wonderful. You want to learn how to give. Okay? You need a mind, a willing mind. You know, you know you have a mindset. We're going to talk about this very shortly. How to give and how to receive. Most people only are learning how to get. It's called a gimme thing. Gimme, gimme, gimme. You hear a lot of people have this gimme syndrome. I mean, it's a real problem. A lot of very few people know how to give. But it's a real challenge. Because you have to balance it out. You really have to balance. We're going to talk about getting later on, but we're going to learn how to give also. You need a mind. You need preparation. You need to understand the principle of sowing and reaping. You need to learn how to tap the grace of God, without which you just can't. Okay? Are we clear on this matter here? Any questions you want to ask? Because the next part of it, you have to put down, maybe wouldn't quite leave what you're going to do. Because we're going to talk about a personal financial plan. Do you have one? Alright, any questions you ask? So now we've finished with the biblical principles. Okay? When I say finish, I mean I've completed teaching it. I'm not finished in the sense it's all over now. It's the real challenge is to ask whether you have understood them and assimilated them into your heart, into your life, into your mind. Because without these principles being established, any financial plan will just be basically personal, selfish, and unblessed. Really? Or any questions you want to ask? What happened to all the questions? Okay. Now we are going, if not, we're going to take for a little while, page 11 now. And I want to take up this whole idea of a personal financial plan for yourself. Okay? God is not going to work this plan for you. Please understand. I put down there, God is not going to do this for me. Okay? You got to work it out within yourself. Plan number one. Okay? Do not ask me, who is your RM? Which bank do you use? And so on and so forth. Citibank called me a couple of days ago and asked me what I thought about their SIS service. I said, not much. And they asked me why. He says, did not the RM call you? I said, no. They said, have you invested something with us? I said, yes. You mean they didn't follow up? I said, no. Then they asked me at the end of the interview, can we use your name? I said, yes. Not afraid to tell them. You see, they like people to comply with them, buy into their products. They don't like people who ask them questions. They don't like people to ask too many questions because they can't answer. Best avoid customers like that. There are 9 other customers who will be more than happy. This one customer asked too many questions. So, never mind. They got 9 out of 10. They still are doing well. 1 out of 10, not so good. It's alright. You see, it can happen that way. When people do surveys, a lot of times they just want to hear all have nice things too. You do your survey room, you know, which ones are good, 1 to 5, what is it? They always want to hear nice things. And not all the time. Okay, now I want to ask you about yourself seriously. Okay, you really want to do a financial plan. Please, nobody can plan this for you. Not your best friend. Not your banker. Not your pastor. Okay, I cannot plan this for you. I will not even think about it. You are responsible for your own life. Not your father, not your mother, not your grandpa. Okay? You have to ask yourself, do you have the wherewithal here to understand? A lot of people don't use, I'm sorry to say this, but they really don't use their brains very much. You got to find that wisdom. You have to. Time to grow up, young people. Wisdom. Well, he said, well, I don't have it. Seek it. Find it. Leave no stone unturned. Afterwards, go out there and turn every stone. A lot of people, but I don't have it. I don't know. How? And then that's the end of the story. I pray for wisdom God never gave me. Please stop being naive. Please stop being childish. Wake up. You're responsible. Oh, well, my husband knows everything. So what does the wife know? I don't know. You have. The Lord is very gracious. I'm not. There are lots of times, you know, we often think if you are married, someone who is smart in a family will take care of all the finances. I don't need to know. That is so foolish. That really is so foolish. Okay? You're married. I hope your brain's still alive. That is so terribly unwise. It could be either way. In Korea, the husband passed the paycheck, pay packet to the wife. Okay, you take over. And he gets allowance. Then one day, a senior pastor told me, sheepishly, he said, I also do the same thing. You've got to be kidding. See, you've just got to be kidding, right? He said, no. He said, three quarters of Korean society like that. The women are the powerful ones. He asked me how. I say, over my dead body. I won't. I'll never surrender my mind to anybody. Will not allow people to do my thinking for me. Can't. That's a God-given principle. Wise up. Girls, please. Ladies, please, wise up. Know. Learn. Find out. discover. So important. A lot of times you just don't. Cultivate. Wisdom is not something that will come easily. You read all about your money and I know everything. It's not true. Wisdom is something you need to cultivate. You don't cultivate it, you only have a very, very, very general idea. It's not good enough. You want to plan? You better understand this. You need to cultivate that wisdom until you can exercise it, see what it's worth. Think about this. You know, you put that up with people who play golf. It seems so easy. Sit down there and whack. Go ahead. Your golf stick goes ahead of you. The ball is still there. It's not as it's easy. Imagine. Everything is in your mind easy. It's not. So is wisdom. Anything you do, it just seems so simple. If the person cook here and there, comes out a dish. Try it. It's not. Nothing is simple until you really exercise it, until you say, you test it, and they say, oh yeah, okay. So this is what wisdom is. Okay? Supposing you have your husband and wife will tell you, you don't know anything. Don't say, yeah, actually I don't know anything, I leave it to you. That is so stupid. It sounds like a premarital counseling class. Can I tell you, please? Okay? It's so important that we appreciate. You do not allow anybody to be your wisdom. The wisdom was meant to be personal, meant to be yours. It's meant to be cultivated. And nobody can take that. Nobody should be allowed to take that with you. And if you don't have it, you have only yourself to blame. No, I don't mean being obsessed with money. I'm not talking about you becoming a financial analyst. I don't mean that. What I'm trying to say to you, be responsible. God has given to you things and He's blessed you with things. Just be responsible. Nothing more is us. And you don't have to be an expert, you're just responsible. Yeah, I'm not asking you to study every day. The first page is the market analyst. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to look at share prices. Not at all. Just be wise. What are you going to do with what you have? It's important. For those of you who have taken loans, study loans, and you were asking me, what shall I do with the loans? Of course, you've got to pay back the loan. Okay? But you have to ask yourself wisely, what do you do? It's a question of wisdom, and I hope that you will understand what this is. Okay? I don't know how many of you have you really are considered under the category of the wise. I hope you will look into this matter. Yeah? Joseph was recognized. I mean, what did he know? What did he know about looking after a household? He didn't. But his stint as a slave of Potiphar taught him lessons. He learned. He did not go to any university. He did not go to a top university there to learn whatever it is, you know, University of Israel. He was just there and he learned. He learned how to set up a home. He learned what Potiphar had. He learned how to manage. Its management is a matter of learning. Wisdom. Find it. And he made everything successful. Now how can I make this a success? And he did. He did not just do, I'm so tired already. No. He's responsible. And along the way, he cultivated wisdom. And as he learned how to organize things, he went to prison. He organized a prison for the prison keeper. That this prison keeper know which cell number, who's going to go out, who's sick, who's dead, and so on and so forth. He organized, it was the best prison around. Chuck Colson, hatchet man of President Nixon. And he had to take the fall for Nixon. His office was just next door to Nixon. And he took a fall. And he went to jail. And it was in jail that he began what is known as prison reform. And he won a prize for his efforts after he came out of jail. That prize is supposed to be even more prestigious than a Nobel Prize. It's known as a Templeton Prize. Price tag, $1 million US, as a price tag to the winner of that Templeton Prize every year. He was one of the recipients for his prison reform. Here is a lawyer, hatchet man. He was cunning, he was wicked, you name him. He was a person who would literally murder the opponents of Nixon. Watergate problem. He was known as a hatchet man because this is exactly what he was. He destroyed people's careers and lives just like that. He went on to do prison reform work, and he's just gone on to become he went on to serve the Lord full time. His main work is with prison. Still, he's become a writer as well. And he learned. He learned a lot of stuff. And he said, if I hadn't been to prison, I would not have been able to understand my need for God. Not be able to understand what my life was worth. And he found God in his life. Young people, I cannot stress for you what it means for you to find God in your life. Please, I want to urge you, make your faith interactive. Make your faith as highly interactive as you possibly can. Okay? And I hope you will. I hope you will not. You just simply, I have faith in God and that's it. You know, I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's it. Your faith was meant to be highly interactive. And that includes what you do with your funds, what you do with wisdom, what you do with your gifts, what you do with the opportunities in life. You know, one of the young people came to ask me, and I won't mention his name, but it was a very interesting question. He said, Pastor, you know, we've all got, oh, so many friends, all got birthday parties. Then we all got no money. How to go and give presents to everybody? So I challenge him to think. Rethink the matter of birthday presents. Because if you have limited money, and if you want to celebrate everybody's birthday, how many weeks are there? Every week, 52 weeks. Every week you celebrate a birthday. 52 weeks. Every day, every time you're going to spend $100, you'll be broke. You need to borrow money from the bank to buy presents. You see, after a while, we go into the merry-go-round, the social merry-go-round. Do we really need to buy presents? It's terrible. I mean, you know, after a while, people run out of ideas. They say, oh, Pastor Charlie, Christmas, we must buy a nice present for him. But what to get him? I think he likes tea. And at every Christmas, I have a supply of tea. It will last me 5 years. I can set up a tea shop, you know. The different types of tea. How much tea can the person drink? I dare not to tell people what I like anymore. For fear that it will turn into a nightmare. Do we need to do this? Not really. And you know, if you're going to attend a wedding present, understandably, you know, you're not going to get married every week. But you're going to get birthday present, everybody, and you got many friends, you got 10 friends, everybody want to celebrate birthday, and you are always the invited guest. I pity you. You have to be very creative. You know, you have to negotiate with your friends. Can we stop this this gift-giving business and so on and so forth. Otherwise, it becomes a real problem. I mean, it's a reality. Everybody thinks that you every little bit counts, and wisdom would need, you need that wisdom. All right, any questions you want to ask on this matter here? I'm going to take this very slowly so that you understand what you know. You ask yourself, do I have this thing, before we come down to actually plan your financial goals and stuff like that. Now you've got to get, you've got to apply all that we've learned, okay? Any questions you want to ask? Anybody? Now I want to ask you, do you have a personal practical plan? But I got no money to plan. You have to start somewhere. You do have some money. You'd be surprised. You have the greatest asset yourself. Yeah. Well, not necessarily separate financial thing. If you can, you can be wise about it. See, there is no hard and fast rule as to whether husband and wife should have one account or two separate accounts. Wisdom and in reality tells us it is wise to keep, have a joint account and have a separate account as well. That is important. Because if you have only one account, a joint account, if the person with the IR coming back and then every coming here and then he gets lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser, you're gonna have a real problem. Have a car, joint car, but have a bicycle at home too. You never know when you need to sell a car. You only have the bicycle. I mean, it's very important that we understand and appreciate this. So if you are wise about it, it is wise to say, well, you know, I have my own separate funds. No, not necessarily. You can simply say, okay, this is how it works. This is yours. This is yours. No. That's what it like. This is yours. This is combined. This is mine. And it's equitable. You can do with yours whatever you want. I'm not going to ask. Over here, joint responsibility, joint custody. This is mine. I want to do it right. Don't ask questions. Because if I want to give this to the Lord, it's not for you to tell me I can't. That's how it works. This one goes to pay for the house, pay for the rent, pay for whatever we need to do. And this is very important. There's a psychological valve here. If you work and you have no money, everything goes to the central bank here. You feel awful. You feel, I have to account for everything. You feel trapped. Don't. This is equitable. Is this perfectly fine? Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you are a person who really don't trust yourself, you will always waste your money, then maybe keep a minimum. There are some people who... I had a friend of mine, I tell you, he earns quite a bit. And he gets paid every 2 weeks. But problem with him is that he plays dice with his workmates. And he always loses. And he always comes back, no money. Now, the wife happened to be a policewoman. But it just happened to be that way. So, the wife said, stop! With all the authority she has. You know? And so, every 2 weeks, he would, you come home, you give me my money. Okay, and I will give to you what you need. So she gives him allowance for $5 for lunch, $3 for bus fare, and gives him with a little bit extra $2 for whatever little things you want to buy, $10 a day. So he gets $300 a month. At the end of the first year, she showed him what? She saved $20,000. That was what he was wasting every year. In a matter of 3 years, $60,000 in a bank. And he realized, yeah, I'm cured from this gambling tendency. He was no good at handling money. And I've known of people who go to pub drinking. You know how much you can spend every month drinking? He doesn't even know where the money goes to. On average, he spends $6,000 drinking. I said, how can you consume $6,000? He said, you know, I cannot just drink for myself, my friend, all on me, this round on me, that round on me, whole evening on me all the time. I don't know what I'm paying. He was the best friend of everybody. Until he lost everything. He lost, he was not allowed to drive, license taken away because he crashed his car, drunk, he went to jail, and everything that was rotten was there. But I know what it was like, because at midnight he would come to my house and look for me. He can't even walk straight. I sent him home at 1 o'clock. It was a hard time. That's what happened. Okay? In this case here, then don't have your own money. You are a danger to yourself. Okay? But it's very hard to just give away money like that. Yes, if you want to be wise about it, learn these habits from young. And if your husband intended, says, okay, you give me all your money, rethink marriage. I am serious. Because one of the most common factors that destroy marriages is the issue of money. You'd be surprised how many families are destroyed. So before you even talk about marriage, I love you, you love you. Talk money. You better sit down and talk money and say, well, are we in agreement here? And if you cannot, if the person wants to control all your money, at the end of it all, yesterday's newspaper, this lady, Ms. Ang, supporting her husband who was jobless, ends up stealing money from the company to support the family. You know how regularly that happens? That's a money problem. So if you are a person who really must spend, and if your boyfriend wants to always spend things on you, do not rejoice in this. See it as weakness, not strength. Oh, he buys me everything I want. That person is weak. That person is foolish. And as a lady, do not rejoice in it. It makes me so happy. Makes me feel so special. It buys me roses every day. Sure, you have roses every day. The only person who is happy is the florist. That's how it is, you know. And women like all these nice things to be given to them. But then, at the end of it all, where's money? What happened to the money? You can't have it and spend it. You can't. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't. So very much depends what you want. Lots of chocolate for me to eat. So what do you want? Come on. Be realistic. Okay, ladies? I just want to help you to understand this. So, here comes a young man. So it's a remodeling already. What do you want to see a young man? No, I don't mean... I mean, there was one young man, he was way stingy. So, one day he went out, he took the girlfriend out, and so I said, well, how did you... It was Saturday night, and the next day, after the young people's group, he went out for it. He said, what do you do? So I said, oh, here, We just went to walk. I said, was it a nice walk? He says, no, you don't understand walk. To him, his idea of going on a date, don't spend any money, just walk 5 miles. walk. And there I was, high heel shoe, walk. Five miles, I come back. Well, I'm so tired, you know. I said, what did you do? Did you go and eat? He said, no. You just walk and walk back. That's it. That's the other way around. So you want to be very careful. Oh dear. You want to be very careful of extreme ends. I mean, you know, you really want to be very, very careful about that. Okay? Maybe said it to you. No, we'll take a break and then we'll come back and talk about your practical planning for a while. All right.